We pray. Dear Father in heaven, sanctify us by your truth. Your word is truth. Amen. Some people have done incredibly selfless things in the name of love, to the point of sacrificing their lives to save a family member, possibly a stranger. We could think of soldiers who have died in defense of their country. Such selfless acts of love do have their limits, though. Part of the problem is they're rare, and so we can't expect human love to end the ravages of war, or cure the ills of society, or stop the dreaded march of death and judgment that everyone is facing. It will take something stronger, a far greater love, the kind that we consider today in 2 Corinthians 5, verses 14 and 15. For the love of Christ compels us, because we judge thus, that if one died for all, then all died. And he died for all, that those who live should live no longer for themselves, but for him who died for them and rose again. The death of Christ on Calvary's cross stands out as an amazing event that is truly meant to grab your attention and hold it closely. Let's consider why that's true. Why? Why would Jesus volunteer to suffer like that? Why would he do much more than die that day? Why would he go to absorb all of God's anger, the full brunt of God's justice, to suffer what hell is like? Not just for us, but for all people in rebellion against him. You can guess the one-word answer. Let's hear what God has to say in Romans 5. God demonstrates his own love toward us in that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. Circling back to 2 Corinthians 5, let's try to understand this passage, verse 14. For the love of Christ compels us, grabs us, captivates us, because we judge thus, that if one died for all, then all died. What does that last part mean, all died? You have to track God's unique policy of substitution. Since one qualified person, Jesus, has successfully died in the place of all people, then all people have already died. That's the way God sees it. That's how it is in his courtroom. And for you personally, since Christ has taken the punishment of all your sins in your place, it's the exact same thing as though you suffered hell on that cross 2,000 years ago. That's an astounding thing to hear. And it's meant to be powerful in your heart and in your life. The self-sacrificing, substitutionary love of Jesus has not only killed and buried the debt of your sin, it has changed your status with God. No longer is he this righteous judge who can only condemn us eternally. He is the loving Father in heaven who at your baptism washed away all your sins, adopted you into his family, and he has stamped you with the same identity applied to Jesus at his baptism. I'm going to summarize Galatians 3 on that last point. As people baptized into Christ, we have put on Christ. We wear Jesus. We're wrapped in him. And on that basis, God says to you what he said to his son at the Jordan River, my beloved child, in whom I am well pleased. The love of Christ, meaning his love for you, is quite astounding. The most powerful thing we could say. Because of what it does in heaven and also on earth. It secures in heaven our forgiveness from God and holds your place there with God. While at the same time on earth, it has tremendous power to work on your hearts and minds. The love of Christ compels us or grabs us. It grabs your attention like nothing else can and holds it. It wins you over time and again. It has the power of the Spirit to rejuvenate in your hearts, saving faith that is growing and doing. The love of Jesus, you see, energizes you to love him back and show it with actions, with loyalty and dedication in your daily fight against sin and your daily struggle to do the right thing for the right reason. Paul said in verse 15, he died for all that those who live should live no longer for themselves, but for him who died for them and rose again. In our former state of unbelief, we only know how to serve ourselves. We're all about us. And to this day, our flesh acts that way, wanting to do things our way rather than his way. But your faith, your God-given faith, driven by the Savior's love, has a better impulse. It steps up when called, ready to go where the Savior leads and to do what the Savior directs. How could it be any other way? We are talking about the one who died for us, paid for us, and rose victorious for us. Our service to Christ is going to be on a higher level than things we might do in memory of a departed loved one or in honor of veterans who died for this nation. We live for him who lives and reigns eternally, who blesses us daily, who still wants us when we stray from his side. The love of Christ has no parallel on earth. It stands out as the strongest power with an everlasting reach, captivating your hearts while you live here on earth and drawing you to himself, soul and body, all the way up to heavenly glory. Endless praise, thanks, and love be to him who loved us first. Amen. We can sing our praise and thanks to our loving Lord in hymn 342. We sing three stanzas of 342. They are stanzas 1, 2, and 5. 1, 2, and 5, hymn 342.